It was very, I always have feeling, every time if I come back, talk to this theory community in Canada, I always feel very, very comfortable. And in fact, it's not the case in the US, but it's always the case. I always, as I enjoy my stay in Canada, I enjoy talk with, and people here. But first I want to say, it's still, 6:30 in California time. So I just tell you the truth. I didn't sleep well last night. So in case if I have any mistake, please forgive me. Okay. Okay. So I think first I just want to mention. I think motivations about this talk, and the one thing I think this work is motivated by this so-called elliptic genius. And you can see a Witten genius. Okay, and I think the elliptic genius was introduced by Ochanian. Around the 1980s, 81, 82. Sometime like this. And the Witten genius was introduced, 85, 86. And roughly speaking, elliptic genius basically is a ring homomorphism from this Thomas-oriented cobordism ring to a ring which you can consider, in this case, basically is a ring of modular form. Okay, Witten genius is first generalization for this one, and here, basically, you use so-called alpha algebra, cosmodular alpha algebra, type D. Okay, I will mention this later on, but this is one, motivation. Another motivation, and also, I should mention here, and even here, of course, vertex velocity algebra didn't occur here, but in fact, it did occur, but it was not mentioned in this way. And today we want to see this, how you can use vertex velocity algebra language to see this with a genius. Okay, and roughly speaking, right now, basically, people think just every genius basically a trace function or some, like a character arm complex or some kind of bundle, okay, just a trace function. Okay, second, this one is a classical K theory. And this is called elliptic homology. Okay, and I think classical K theory, basically there are two ways, to define it. One is just use this bundle language. You just consider basic classical KX, abelian group, you can just say, I just see abelian group generated by all these, vector bundles of vector space. But there are another algebraic formulation. You forget about topology, you can define this algebraically, okay? And, elliptic cohomology, this one basically was studied by Leonard Weber, again, 1985, 86. And roughly speaking, this is just the, this is ring some modular form. Okay, this is some ring modular form. This one, this one is Thomas oriented cobordism ring. This R is a modular form. Module form. So basically, here this one is how you elliptic genius just comes here. Of course, if you consider original K theory, this one is this one you just here is basically spin manifold. Here you take index. So Z become module for this one. Here this is elliptic genius. This become module for this one. Okay. So this is this is the algebraic definition of classical K theory. This is the so-called elliptic cohomology algebraic definition. Okay. Once you have this algebraic definition, you can check, all the cohomology properties. But the question is, so far, there are no, topological definition. Okay. I think many people have tried this very hard to find a topological definition or geometric definition. And for example, Hopkins recently introduced these so-called topological modular forms. Just one attempt. And also this figures, elliptic objects. I think also studied by many people. I just people try to give different approach to see how you can realize elliptic homology topologically. But it's fair to see so far it's not be, it has not been successful. Okay, there are no, okay. I think what we want to do is that I see if we can use a vertex opposite algebra bundle to approach this elliptic homology. But I have to see it's too early to see if we can maybe we cannot do anything. Okay, maybe there are no theory come out. But in any case, you can use the vertex opposite algebra bundle to define a K theory. You can prove it's a K theory. But we don't know how far this K theory is from this elliptic homology. Okay. Okay, so I think the first lecture, basically, I'm going to talk about the basics of vertex opposite algebras. And originally, I didn't plan to talk about definition in vertex opposite algebra, but today I want to come here, I realize many people probably even, I think, don't know the definition of vertex opposite algebra. So I just basically, the first lecture is about vertex opposite algebras and modules, and also about some recent, you know, I think, development, what's going on here. Okay? And a connection with affine custom Moody algebras. Okay. So I think just the first lecture will be just the. Vertex opposite algebra and modules. I think in this part, basically, I will tell you what is a rational vertex opposite algebra, and also various module category, and also contributing modules, and a fusion product, and also bilinear forms, and all these kind of things will be used in the study of this K theory associated to vertex opposite algebra, and also define so-called vertex opposite algebra bundles. And another thing I'm going to talk about, you know, the connection between affine custom Moody algebra. In general, you know, if given an affine custom Moody algebra, you can construct a vertex opposite algebra. But the point is, suppose I have a vertex opposite algebra. You said there is an affine custom Moody algebra. What can you see about this affine custom Moody algebra? For example, the repetition theory. If you have a vertex affine algebra, you said a vertex opposite algebra. What can you see? What can you tell about the modules for this affine custom Moody algebra? For example, is this unitary or anything you can see? We also want to address this problem. Okay, the so-called inverse problem. Here you have affine custom Moody algebra, you can construct a vertex opposite algebra. Right now we have a big vertex opposite algebra, but there's a subpart which is affine algebra. What can you see about this subpart? Okay. So first, okay, let's just talk about the VOE definition. This is Borchardt and also Frankel, Napovsky, Merman. Okay, and I'm not going to talk about anything, I think, about the vertex algebra. I only talk about the vertex opposite algebra. Okay, so here in this case, we have a V. Okay, I just read this just standard notation. Okay, in this case, V is just grid vector space. Okay, by the way, every vector space in all these lectures will be complex vector space. Complex vector space, okay? And yeah, this N belongs to Z. We have this one is the dimension of Vn. This Vn is all five dimensional, and also Vn equals zero. I should say Vm equals zero if M is sufficiently small. In other words, this is always truncated from below. Okay, and then we have this Y is a map, linear map from V to endomorphism V. This, yeah, form power series Z inverse, and this V go to Y V Z. This equal to V N N belong to Z, and Z minus N minus 1. In this case, each V N is a linear transformation on V. Okay. Satisfy the following axioms, okay, such that for for u, v, and v, and n belong to z. The first thing is that one, and we require u, n, v equal to 0 if n is sufficiently large, or is very big. This first thing. Second thing is, okay, and what is, okay, why, okay, why identity, yeah, this one z, okay, I should see this one, okay. One is so-called vacuum condition. One is basically so-called vacuum. We require the corresponding vertex operator that's equal to identity operator on V. This equivalent to say, one, this you have component operators, this n equal to just identity V delta n minus 1. In other words, if n equals minus 1, equal to identity, otherwise component operator equals 0. And also, we have this Y VZ. If for any V, you apply it to 1, when take limit Z goes to 0, this just recover V. This basically tells you this map is injective, and this vertex operator, when apply this one, you just recover V. Okay, this equivalent to see, this is said, okay, Vn x on 1 equal to 0 if n bigger than 0, and V minus 1 x on 1 equal to V. This definition, this is just equivalent to this one. Okay, this is about this vacuum condition. The third condition is about, okay, this is, okay, I will not use, I think, Jacobi identity, because people always, they hate Jacobi identity for various reasons, okay? But I just write down this so-called locality, okay? So there exists, yeah, okay, I should see, there exists an n bigger than or equal to 0 such that, and z1 minus z2 to n y u z1 y v z2 equal to z1 minus z2 to n y v z2 and y and u z1. Okay, so this is the so-called locality. Okay, and also last one I want to mention about this Virchow condition, the Virchow condition. Okay, this omega is also, this is a distinguished element of v. Okay, and then if you expand this y omega z, this just equal to ln z minus n minus 2, n belong to z. Then the component operator, here I have suitable shift. Okay, this operator, component operator, satisfy the following bracket relation, namely Virchow algebra relation. Where C is called, so-called C, this number, complex number, so-called central charge. So, okay, I'm not going to call this C a rank. In Frank Laplace-Murray's book, this number is called a rank. I'm not going to call this for the rank. I think the reason is later on I'm going to define a rank for vertex operator algebra. It's different. But for latent vertex operator algebra, the rank and the central charge are the same. But in general, they are different. Okay, so this is just called central charge. And also, you require the following condition. And what this one is, L minus 1 and YVZ, this is equal to YL minus 1 VZ, this is equal to derivation of YVZ. Okay, so this is a condition. And the last condition is L0 restrict to VN just equal to N. So in other words, this is against basic composition for the operator L0 with eigenvalue Vn is eigenspace with eigenvalue n. Okay, so this, this finishes the definition of vertex operator algebra. Okay, I just wonder if you want to know any examples, or you think you know examples, so I just keep going, or just should I give examples? Huh? Because this was, I said this was not a plan, so just, okay. So, it, okay, so this is just a vertex operator algebra. Okay, so I just mentioned, okay, so I just, okay, so in this case, I just mentioned a few things about, the first thing is, okay, I should mention, okay, just notation. If V belong to Vn, we just said the weight V equal to n. So you have L0 eigenvalue is called the weight of this vector. Okay, so here I just give a few examples. The first example, this is so-called Heisenberg VOA. Heisenberg VOAs, okay? What's a Heisenberg VOA? In this case, suppose you have this H, this is just a finite dimensional space with a non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form. Then what you have, this so-called M, okay, you have this affinization, this just equal to H tensor C T T inverse direct sum C chi, okay, then the bracket relation is this so-called corresponding affine algebra, this is X tensor T to M, Y tensor T to N, this just equal to M, X, Y, and the delta M plus N, 0, chi. K is in the center. This is the affinization of H. Okay. Once you have this one, you can. Okay. Then you can form so-called. This is M1. I say use this notation I choose from Frank Lefort Merman's book. This one will be equal to symmetric algebra H tensor T inverse C T inverse. So this, you can consider this just like a polynomial ring with variable hn, where h belongs to h, n less than 0. Here hn just equal to h tensor t to n. So this is the so-called Heisenberg VOA. One special case. In this case, what is 1? 1 equal to 1, and omega equal to 1 half, hi minus 1 square, f from 1 to D here, and H1, HD is an orthonormal basis. Okay, and I just tell you what's the vertex operator in this case. Vertex operator in this, okay, here one writing this way is kind of cheating. I didn't tell you how you become, in fact, this one, M1, in fact, this one, M1, M1 is a H hat module. In fact, it's an induced module, okay? It's basically what you have, it's HN here, this HN, okay, maybe if I choose a basis in this case, you see this M1, this just equal to C and the HI minus N, and f from 1 to d, and n bigger than 0, okay, I can write it this way, okay, because I choose this orthonormal basis. Okay, in this case, what is hi minus n, okay, this one, okay, hn, this just equal to how this x, this just equal to, okay, this is just equal to n and partial hi minus n. If n is positive, this is how this x, okay, and if it's negative, just equal to hi and n. If n is negative, of course, if, and this is, yeah, I should see, this equal to 0, if n equal to 0, this is how this x. So if you define this action, this just become module for H hat, okay. And then you can form so-called vertex operator. I just write down one. What is Y H minus one Z? This just so-called equal to H Z. This just equal to H N Z minus N minus one, and N belong to Z. This is how we define. In fact, this vertex operator algebra generated by so-called H. Okay. So this is how we define this one. In general, you need to use normal ordering. Okay. I don't think I will just talk about this general, I think definition, general vertex operation. Okay, another thing I think I want to mention is about this affine vertex orbital algebra. Okay, another example is affine vertex orbital algebra. Kx is 1. I should say yes. Kx is 1. Okay, the point is that you always choose k equal to 1. The reason is that if you choose different k, it's equivalent to just renormalize the Bernoulli form. So you can always assume k equal to 1. Okay, so another thing is so-called, next example I call the so-called affine VOEs. Okay, in this case, I just assume G is a finite dimensional and a simple Lie algebra. Okay, it's simple Lie algebra, okay? In this case, again, you have this affinization G hat. Okay, you have this affinization G hat. Okay. Then I just write down, but I will not write this the bracket C T T inverse plus and C K, okay. But the bracket in this case because you have this the G not abelian, so the bracket just you have extra term, okay. In this case, I just introduce two things. First, okay, the first thing I want to introduce is so-called, okay, for any suppose K belong to C. This is a number, okay? You can define so-called V. Yeah, I should, yeah, okay. Let's see, okay. I just read V, VK. This just equal to induced module G hat tensor G tensor C T direct some CK and X C, okay? You just make this part, okay? This one become module for this subalgebra. This is G tensor C T and X on 1 equal to 0 and yeah, sure, this capital K and capital K X on 1 equal to small k. This K, of course here I didn't talk about how we normalize the form. This K, I choose a form out here, so the square length of long root is 2. As a result, this K is the exact level induced in Carson's book, is the exact level of this module. In this way, you get this induced module. In fact, this one is a vertex orbital algebra. Again, this one, in fact, is graded, okay? In fact, VK is just natural graded. And what is VK zero just equal to 1? Just C just equal to 1. You can just, because this one is graded. Okay. What is VK 1? This just equal to spanned by all, because I, you know, this one is it just equal to all X minus 1 and a tensor 1. Okay, so I just identify this with x minus 1, and where x just belongs to G. This one is 1. So usually you always identify this one with G. Okay, this identify with G. Okay, so in this case, what is y and x minus 1 z just equal to xz just equal to xn and z minus n minus 1 and belong to Z. Okay, so this vertex operator algebra again is generated by G. The corresponding vertex operator for X from G just exactly original X, and this is just this is the original generating function. Okay, there are also Virchow is so-called Siegel-Schwarz form, and also and some yeah. And in this case, when I define the general vertex operator, again you need to use normal ordering. But the important thing I want to mention is the following, okay? We know this one. Okay, we know this one, okay, and VK has a unique irreducible quotient. Okay, usually this quotient is you people write L K lambda 0, or sometimes people already write F L K 0. It depends, people use different notation. Okay, lambda 0 is called fundamental weight for corresponding alpha cosmic algebra. Okay, has uniquely irreducible quotient. This one again, is a vertex orbital algebra. Because this just induce, you have induced a vertex orbital structure here. But an important thing I want to mention, of course, here I have not given a notation. This one, okay, this vertex orbital algebra, this K lambda zero, this is a rational okay, but here I have not tell you what is the definition of rational vertex orbital algebras. Rational vertex orbital algebra, roughly speaking, is just if you have this vertex orbital algebra, any module is completely reducible. Okay, in this case, you get so-called rational vertex orbital algebra. This one is rational if and only if k is non-negative integer. Okay, so I just this is just basic equivalent for this one is unitary if and only also k is non-negative integer. Just the same thing. Okay. So I just mentioned these two examples. Yeah, maybe okay. I just read out of space. Just I will not tell you. Okay, but another example is lattice. In this case, okay, L is a positive, definite, even lattice. This means L is free abelian group fast rank. Okay, L is a free abelian group of finite rank, and also we have a positive definite form from L cross L to from L to Z, such that and this one is for any alpha belong to L, and alpha is belong to 2Z. Bigger than zero, this positive definite is even. Okay, once you have this one, okay, you can consider what is so-called H. H in this case, you consider L tensor Z C, okay? And you have Bernier form on L, you can use C linearity to extend the Bernier form from L to H. So as so what is left in the vertical orbital algebra, VL is just the M1. Because once you have H, I define use H, you use how to define it. Every time I have finite dimensional vector space, you can define M1, then tensor C L. This part is so-called group algebra because we assume L is an abelian group. Okay, so this is lattice vertex orbital algebra. I think there are also Virchow vertex orbital algebras and also Heisenberg. I can choose different Heisenbergs, you know, there are many who choose different Heisenbergs. These are basic examples of vertex orbital algebras. This is called lattice vertex orbital algebra. Okay, I think that's all what I want to see about vertex orbital algebras. So now let's just move to the modules. Okay, let's just move to the okay, I think it's fair to see at this point there are not much theory about the modules and or even about structure of vertex orbital algebra. We do have some few results, but you know not much. So, but first we have to I think induce the right you know I think terminology like a various module category. Okay, the modules there basically there are three module categories. The first one is so-called weak module. Okay, in this case, this m equal to m ym. The module, of course, is vector space. Ym just a map from V to an endomorphism m, Z inverse. Okay, and each copy is this and the linear transformation on M. And also for any U, V belong to V, and the W belong to W, and the M belong to Z, we have the following conditions. Okay, we have the following conditions. The first thing is that, okay, and U N W equal to 0 if N is sufficiently large. Second thing is Y M 1 Z. Remember, Y is vacuum. This again, this equal to identity on M. The third thing is that Y M U N on V Z. This equal to residue of Z 1 and Z 1 minus Z. N YM UZ1 and YM and VZ minus Z plus Z1 and YM and VZ and YM and UZ1. Okay, so this is the definition of weak module. Okay, the residue with respect to Z1 means you can say form a power series in Z1, residue with respect to Z1 is coefficient of Z1 to minus 1. This means residue. Okay? You see these two things as a function, they are the same, but the point is that here they are expanded in a different domain. This one expanded in the domain and Z1 bigger than Z as a form of power series. This one expanded in the domain Z bigger than Z1. Okay? So it defines different domain. Otherwise, you know, the difference will become zero. Oh, no, not zero, okay, you can see, not zero, but these two functions were the same, but they are different. Okay, this is the meaning of residue. Okay, this is called a weak module. I think that so far, it's very hard to start a weak module. It's very hard to even have examples. Excuse me. I used W in the first condition. Oh, thank you. You don't need locality. Just follows. Yes. Okay. So this is a weak module. Okay, then another module, so-called admissible module. Admissible module is M, again, equal to M, YM. Okay, in this case, first is a weak module. And the second, M should have a gradation. And such that you consider U, M, M, N, this should contain the M with U minus M minus 1 plus N for all U belong to V and M, N belong to Z. Okay? So this is so-called admissible module. It's a weak module, but you have extra condition. It's graded, but this UM, I remember what is with U. This defined already. If you, you know, VOE, this, okay. I just tell you what's going on. Here, okay, we don't know what is this dimension. Okay, we don't know what's dimension. But it's just basically, you want this truncated from below, you know, somehow. You don't want this go to, you know, I think for people who study, I think category O, you don't want to, you know, go to both directions. You just want this mode to go to one direction. Okay, but by the way, I didn't mention here about the Virchow algebra relation. Vassarion's relation is still true, but it's a consequence. In a VO definition, you need to assume it, but in a definition module, you don't need to assume it. It's just a consequence. You still have, so here, the Vassarion algebra still X on here, but we do not know M is finite dimensional. We do not know M is the eigenspace for L0. In fact, it's not true in general. Okay. So the last module category I want to introduce is so-called ordinary modules, or you just people just module defined originally in Frank Lepore-Moorman's book. Last one is so-called just module. Ordinary, again, in this case, M equal to M, where M is a weak module. But we require, in this case, M should be graded. This dimension of M lambda is finite, and also M lambda plus N equal to 0 if N belongs to Z, and N is very, very small. Okay, so in other words, you just have C, you consider coset of Z and C. In each coset, you cannot go down, forever. You must stop, truncate it from below. But in this case, what is M lambda? M lambda is the eigenspace, L0, X on M lambda equal to lambda. What is L0? You have YM and omega Z. Again, this is equal to LN and Z minus N minus 2, N belongs to Z. And then this one is eigenspace for L0. This one, this is a module defined in original Frank Lepore-Moorman's book. But it turns out, in order to study repetition theory, you have to consider various module category. You cannot just consider this one. In fact, this one is not a good category. Okay, so this is the finished definition of all these three different modules. Okay, I'm not sure if the examples I should tell you more results. Okay, let's just, because I discussed several examples before, so I just here continue to discuss examples about it. The serial chart is the same. Same relation is just consequence. It's consequence of it's just consequence of definition. Same serial chart. Serial charge on module and VO are always the same. Example, again, in this case, I consider V equal to M1. Okay? Then you consider what is M? 1 lambda. This one equal to H hat. If you remember, what is that tensor U? And, I will tell you what is this one. This is H tensor C T, direct sum of C K. Then it's C. Okay? Here, C, okay? And what is lambda? Lambda again belongs to H. What is in this case? H tensor C T T X on Y equal to 0 and H tensor T to 0. I identify H. This one H X on Y. H X on Y equals just lambda H. And K X on Y just equal to 1. This induced module. Okay, in fact, this one, every of M1 lambda is a module for M1. In fact, this complete list of irreducible modules for M1. Okay, in fact, this one is a complete list. Okay, this one is each M1 lambda is a irreducible M1 module. In fact, each module here is ordinary. It's ordinary, of course. By the way, I should mention, here I introduce three module categories. In fact, the ordinary module, smallest module category, this one is bigger. In fact, on the surface, it's not easy to see ordinary module is admissible module, but it's true. ordinary module is always admissible module. Admissible module is always weak module. There's, you know, this relation. The reason is because I mentioned this this coset. You know, if you consider coset of Z and C, in each coset, you can just use a suitable degree shift to change, you know, this to an admissible module. The sum admissible module against the admissible module. Okay, this is my irreducible module. In fact, this is all irreducible module. This gave you all irreducible module for M1. Another example, if you I called about this, and G is a finite dimensional, a simple, the algebra. We have this VK. Okay, for this VK, this VK we remember this one is a VOA. Of course, I should assume K is not equal to dual constant number. You know, there's some technical assumption. Okay, otherwise there's no very sort of element. Okay, then what you have, you can construct a module for this one. You just take M. Suppose M is suppose W is a G module. Okay, it's a G module. Then you can just construct what I consider V K W. This just equal to universal Riemann algebra G hat. Tensor, universal Riemann algebra of G tensor C T direct sum C K and W. Okay, what you can act on here is that K, capital K, still just equal to K on W, and then G tensor C T T act on W equal to zero, and if the only thing left is will be G tensor T to zero, just act on W because W is G module. This girl reduced module, this one become so-called, this one become a module, in general this one I call a weak module for VK. This is how you construct modules for this one, okay. Yeah, in fact I have space here, yes. Okay, I should see, yes. Just here, G tensor T to zero, just identify with G and X on W, W is G module. In fact, in this case, this for all each of this one, VKW is admissible VK. Yeah, I'm not sure if I use V, okay, maybe my notation is confused. I remember I used this VK before, is that right? Yeah, I use this notation, yeah, this module, yeah. Because if I use the sub K, it's confused with gradation, you know. Okay, this one just, this one is a VK module. And in this case also, what you can have is, for example, okay, if what happens right now, if W, okay, just equals L lambda is a Hurst weight module for G. When I talk about it, suppose this with Hurst weight lambda, in this case it means I have to fix Cartan sub error for G and pick a root system, positive root system, then talk about Hurst weight L lambda, okay? Then in this case, what is V, K, again W, L lambda, has a unique irreducible quotient. In this case, people usually can write down this K lambda. This L K lambda, this has a unique irreducible quotient. This is called L K lambda. Okay. Again, if K bigger than equal, okay, if K bigger than equal to zero, and then, okay, and I should see, yes, this is what is, and L, K, lambda, this is, lambda must be dominant weight, lambda belong to P plus, I just said, okay, lambda must be, okay, lambda is dominant, and also lambda theta is less than equal to K, and this theta is longest positive root. Okay, this one, again, is a complete list. of irreducible L chi lambda 0 modules. Okay, so this one is just in this case, it's just a module for this one. If k is bigger than or equal to 0, we know this one is rational. There are only finite many modules. These are all modules. This one, again, this list is same as the level k unitary cars with irreducible modules. Okay, another, I think, just about. Another example, what this one is so-called, this lattice, okay? Example about this lattice, VL, in this case, you have this dual lattice. This one equal to H belong to L tensor ZC, such that H, L is containing Z. Then it's just L0, this over L, this is the coset decomposition. In this case, you have this VL plus lambda I. This is just equal to M1 tensor CL plus lambda I. You can consider this is containing C dual lattice. This again is group algebra. This one is subspace of here. So this one is a module. Okay, in this case, and the VL plus lambda I and A belong to L0 over L are the VL modules. Okay, again, this view is very good. This view also rational view is. Okay, so this I just correspond to the example I discussed before. Here just also discuss our modules. Okay, so next I'm talk about some abstract results. Yes, they are always ordinary, yes. No, here it is not. This is I said, the admissible module. But this module, I never assumed, you know, dimension sign dimensional. Okay, so there are three relevant concepts here. Okay, I have to give these concepts. Okay, the first concept is V is rational if any admissible module is completely reducible. The second thing is that, okay, V is called regular if any weaker module is a direct sum of irreducible ordinary module. Okay, this the rationality concept probably most important concept, you know, about the VO theory and the repetition theory. But I'll tell you what's the consequence of this one. Okay. The third one is, okay, so-called V is C2 cofinite if the dimension of V over a sub, yeah, its quotient space is finite dimensional. What is C2V? What is C2V? Where C2V just a subspace spanned by U minus 2V and UV belong to V. Okay, so there are these three concepts. One is so-called rational, regular, and C2 cofinite. Okay, I introduce these three concepts is basically there's a big conjecture in a theory. Conjecture basically says, okay, rationality equivalent to C2 This one with or without this one with this fit covariance with some of this part is a question. Okay? But this okay, I just want to mention a few words, okay? You see, the rationality, okay, the rationality is just like if you study the classical associative algebra. You said, okay, an algebra semi simple is any module semi simple. But for classical finite dimensional associative algebra, you can also talk about Jacobi's radical. This is an internal condition. But you see, here rationality is external condition, C2 cosine is an internal condition. Has nothing to do with the module. Regularity is a much stronger complete reducibility. Much stronger. But in fact, the conjecture says these things are equivalent. In fact, this is true for all we know good VOEs. Lattice VOE, Virasoro VOEs, RFM VOEs. It's always true. Okay. Okay. Next, I'm going to tell you what's the status of this conjecture, then tell you what's the consequence of each of this concept. What do you know? Okay, suppose I have this concept, what do you know? Okay, so I think I only have a few minutes. Okay, so maybe I just talk about it. Okay, just talk about what's the status of this conjecture. Okay, so and first is the regularity implies rationality. This is just definition, because any weak module completely reducible. Of course, any admissible module is completely reducible. No problem. Okay, and also regularity implies C2 cosine. This was done by Heisenli and I think it's just 2000. Okay, this one is not obvious. You see, okay, you just any module can be reducible. The any weak module can be reducible. It implies this C2 cosine. Okay, and there's another result which says, okay, and the rationality plus C2 cosine is, and this one, in fact, is regularity equivalent. Okay, this is this year, okay. It just, in other words, but we know this regularity implies this one, both one. You now you can prove these two conditions together. You can implies regularity. Okay. This is about status of this conjecture, and also I will tell you, I think, see few words and what's going on here, and this has something to do with the consequence of this different definitions. Okay, because I don't have time, I just mention a few things. The first thing is that rationality, of course, I'll tell you this again, I think, this afternoon. Rationality will implies that only finite dimensional reducible modules, just like in the classical case. Any module completely reducible implies that only finite dimensional irreducible modules. And also, each irreducible or admissible module is ordinary, is a good module, you know. Ordinary module is the best module you can have. Okay, what a C2 finite is. C2 cofinite, this condition implies VOE is finitely generated. Again, this is not obvious from the, you know, from the assumption. VOE is finitely generated. Not just this one. The difficulty to study the module theory for VOE is we don't have, you see, when I study the module theory for the algebra, the big theorem you use is PPW theorem, triangular decomposition. So you have category O. But here we don't have such thing. Okay? But this C2 cofinance, because you have finite generators, of course this finite many generators cannot generate a Lie algebra, but still it can give you a good spanning set of VOEs. Use this good spanning set, you can do a lot of things. Okay, so it's just basically this one basically guarantee some kind of PBW like theorem for VOE. Okay, this will be I think something I'm going to talk this afternoon, and also this afternoon I should finish the VOE part. Okay, so then I can move to the VOE bundles and the case here. Okay, thank you.